Our scripture is from Jonah, chapter 1. Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before them, before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Praise be to God for his word today.
Thank you. Am I on? Not yet. How about now? Perfect. Well, it's great to be here. I feel like I've been away more than I've been here for the better part of half a year now. A lot of what we've been doing as missionaries with First Story has been traveling, engaging with different churches, engaging with different organizations, engaging with indigenous believers around Canada, trying to see how we can serve them as a church. It's been a lot of travel, a lot of visiting with non-believers in indigenous circles who potentially could be areas where we want to serve as a mission. First Story is just hopping right now because we're also doing our first orientation class with our new missionaries, kind of helping them understand more of the context into which they're going to be going into as missionaries. It's not an easy context. It's not going to be your traditional ethnos work where people are clamoring to hear the word of God. These are people who have been marginalized. They've heard the word of God, and they've come to equate that with something that really isn't what we want to communicate. Even in our first orientation time, we've been sending some of our families up to Northern Ontario, Thunder Bay area, where they've been engaging with different indigenous people, and they're saying, "Well, I'm not getting anywhere with these people. I'm not able to make inroads. My relationships are going nowhere." I'm more like, "Welcome to ministry among the indigenous people in Canada." It's not easy, guys. We need prayer. We need prayer for our missionaries who are in training right now, who are going to go into these hard-to-reach areas. We need prayer for our leadership team. Feels like we're coming under spiritual attack every day of the week. Pray for our family. We're tired. We're only halfway through the year, and I feel like I got nothing left to give. But maybe that's a good place to be, because I have to rely on the Lord for my strength and my health and whatnot. One of the things I've been able to do as I travel is engage with the church. My heart is heavy for the state of the church. I believe that through complacency, through just slight deviations in course, the church as a whole, especially in Canada, seems to be slightly off course, maybe way off course. It's hard to get people engaged. It's hard to get missionaries. We have no people coming to want to be missionaries from Canada. All our missionaries are coming from overseas in the States. What's going on? I can't tell you exactly what's going on, but as I've been thinking about this, as I've been thinking about missions, and when I was asked, say, can I preach this morning, give a short update, the story of Jonah came to me. the story of Jonah. Anyone who knows about Jonah knows what? What's he famous for? He's swallowed by a fish. Right? And it's become one of these children's stories that hasn't gone more than just superficial applications to our lives as believers, to our lives as members of the body of Christ. And it's just that. It's in children's books. I encourage you, read Jonah. Read Jonah, because in the book of Jonah, if you hold it up to yourself, you're going to be confronted with many hard attitudes, with many ways that you are not engaging with what God wants you to do as the church, what he wants me to do as a member of the church. That's why I titled the message, I Am Jonah. Because I believe we all have a little bit of Jonah in us. Aren't you glad the Bible doesn't sanitize? It doesn't just paint pretty pictures. It leaves us with all the messy details of what it means to be a man or a woman of God trying to follow him. Or in Jonah's case, trying not to follow him. See, because the book of Jonah could have cut from verse 2 of chapter 1 to chapter 3. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. It said, go preach against these people. Cut to chapter 3. He preached the word and everyone repented. It's the greatest evangelistic crusade ever in the history of the world. Think about that. It says 120,000 people came to know the Lord. Came to repent and fall before God. 120,000 people. Now, the most translators, most people who are going through this would say that's 120,000 people who didn't know their right from their left, which means they were too young. They didn't know right from wrong yet. It's a huge city. 600,000 people probably lived there because it took 3 days to go across and to visit. The biggest evangelistic crusade in the history of the world from a man called Jonah who was running away from God. Crazy, eh? What I want to do this morning is briefly walk through the book of Jonah, give you a bit of background, and then end off with some applications, touching on some high points throughout. It starts out, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. That's amazing. The word of the Lord is always engaging with us on a personal level. The word of the Lord is always coming to us. God is always speaking, looking for those who are going to be listening. So the word of the Lord comes to Jonah, son of Amittai, says, arise, go to Nineveh. Go to Nineveh and preach against it, for its evil has come up before me. Now, Nineveh was part of the Assyrian Empire. The Assyrian Empire were the people who eventually took over the northern tribes of Israel, took them into exile. Basically, after that, there was no Israel. They were evil people. They were the badge of honor for excess in evil. That was a badge of honor, excess in evil. They would skin people alive, put their skins on the walls of the city. They would pile up skulls. They would do all kinds of evil things. And this evil comes up before the Lord. Not much unlike what we see in the book of Romans when it says, there's no one who does good, no one who seeks the Lord, their hearts have turned to evil. Are we in such a different world than the one Jonah was in? I would say we're not. I would say that because that command to go has come to all of us, because the evil is before the Lord, and God's wanting people to repent, I don't think we're in so much of a different world. Jonah gets a bad rap. He's like, He's told to go, and what does he do? He wants to run away from God, away from the presence of the Lord, as if that's possible, right? Like, does he not understand the omnipresence of God? As if it's possible to run away from the presence of God. Jonah flees. Why? Why does Jonah flee? One, he was a racist. Plain and simple. He hated the Assyrians. He didn't want them to repent. He wanted the Lord to destroy them. I can understand his reluctance to go. I can understand how he didn't want to go and engage with what God was wanting him to do. These people were horrible people. Well, let's take that down a bit. What qualifies as Nineveh today? Where is your Nineveh? Where is God asking you to go? And you're making excuses. You may be a racist, plain and simple. You may have racism in your heart that you are not addressing. I may have racism in my heart that I'm not addressing. But more than that, like those are the places I don't want to go. Those are the places that pull me out of my comfort zone. Those are the places where I go to people who have hurt me. People where I can get hurt again. These are the dangerous places. The dangerous places that for my self-preservation, I don't want to go. Where's your Nineveh? Could your Nineveh be a broken relationship between father and son, friend, neighbor, co-worker? Could it be a place where it's going to pull you out of your comfort zone if you're going there? So as much as we can stand and say, well, look at Jonah, what he did, I believe we all do the same thing. We all hold on to our comforts. We all hold on to what we want to do. We all hold on to the way we see things going. And we fall into the same trap that Jonah did. We run away from what God wants us to do. Where does Jonah run? He runs to a ship. He runs to a port, Joppa. He looks for a ship. He's traveling 500 miles to find the ship that's going to Tarshish. What are the chances that there is a boat there going to Tarshish? That precise day that he arrives, there's something that's going to take him further away from the presence of the Lord. Satan has many boats. Satan has many boats that will be waiting to take you further away from the Lord, further away from what he wants you to do. Does that make sense? Does that make sense that when you want to follow what God wants to do, Satan comes up against you with obstacles. He comes up with ways of impeding your path forward. When you're not wanting to do what God wants you to do, he's going to make a way out for you. And yes, it might even come dressed up in Christian language. It may even be church events. You may be able to hide behind, well, I got to be at this, or I'm doing this. The command is to go. The command is to go and take this message, this wonderful message that God has given us to others. Oh, but man, God is so good. God is so good. Not only is he wanting people to come to know him, not only does he want this message to go forth and repentance to come about, he is giving us mercy upon mercy as we, the messengers, go forth. We go out and we walk away from the Lord. We do everything we're not supposed to do, and God still pours out his blessing, his grace and his mercy upon us, the messenger, because what? He wants our heart. He wants our heart involved in what he's doing. He just doesn't want bodies who are just begrudgingly going after what God wants us to do. He wants our heart. And that is one of the wonderful things in this story of Jonah that kept hitting me over and over and over again. No matter what Jonah did, no matter how he behaved, no matter how hard he tried to run, God was still pouring out grace and mercy upon him. I know my heart, I would have written him off at the first chance of rebellion. Wouldn't you? He's no good. Get the next guy. But no, God is working and wanting Jonah's heart to be involved in what he's doing. But Jonah keeps running. He goes down. He goes down to Joppa. He goes down to the port, down to the ship, down to the belly of the ship. Down into the water, down into the belly of the fish. That's the only way we go when we run away from God. Down. The only way up is with him. Just imagine yourself. Jonah goes down. He just a fly on the wall watching Jonah walk into the belly of the ship. His conscience seared. He does not want anything to do with the Assyrians. He doesn't want anything to do with what God wants him to do. He goes down into the belly of the ship and falls asleep. That's a hardened heart. That's a hardened heart to be able to fall asleep in the midst of what God's... No conscience. God's asking him to do something. He has no remorse. Falls asleep instantly. And it's such a deep sleep that even in God's attempts to get a hold of him through a storm, he is still sleeping. Are you in a storm of life right now, sleeping through what God wants you to do? Sometimes wonder if I am. Another amazing thing about this story, no matter what Jonah does, he's doing everything wrong and people are coming to know God. It tells you more about God than it does about Jonah. The ship is going down. These sailors are afraid. Very afraid. Because the ship's breaking apart and they're throwing everything overboard. Jonah's sleeping in the bottom of the ship. And they're throwing everything overboard. They're trying to find out what's going on. They're each praying to their God, wanting to know, why has this come upon us? Trust me. Those who don't know the Lord are praying to their gods. They're going to their gods for comfort, for help. They're wondering what is really going on. And we shy away from the messiness that's going on above on the ship where they're throwing everything overboard and people are... It's chaos, guys. It's chaos out there. It's messy to get involved in people's lives. But they're looking for the answer. They're just looking in the wrong place. Instead of being out there in the storm of life with people, helping them see the true answer that's God and His Son, Jesus Christ, we shy away and we retreat. We don't have to. We go forth with confidence because God is doing the work. Don't think that because you're not well equipped, that because you don't have all the answers in the Bible, you are not supposed to be out there. It doesn't mean that we don't read our Bible and try to understand and study and make sure that we're grounded in His Word and in prayer, living by the Spirit. But it's God doing the work. Isn't that amazing? Jonah's messed up And these sailors come to know the Lord. Crazy. And if he's gone so far as to mess up, do you think God can use each one of us? Absolutely. Absolutely, God can use each one of us to take this message to people who are hurting, who are wondering, where is the truth? Jonah gets woken up. And just imagine the scene. He gets woken up. They cast lots, and he's told to pray to his God. And they're casting lots. It falls on him. And they say, well, what is this? Why is this falling upon you? Well, guys, it turns out that I'm running from the presence of the Lord, and he's the one who made heaven and earth and everything in it. And these men are like exceedingly afraid now. They're trying to preserve Jonah's life, and he's running because he doesn't want people to come to know the Lord. And imagine on the deck of that ship when they realize who God is, and they offer sacrifices. It wasn't Jonah. It was God. And yet Jonah, in his attempt to make things right, he asked to be thrown overboard. God is saving people. And don't get this wrong in the story. Jonah's desire to be thrown overboard was not self-sacrifice. It was not self-sacrifice. Because look at Jonah's pattern. Jonah wanted nothing to do with what was going on. Jonah wanted to die over and over again. Yes, Jonah said, Jonah knew that being thrown overboard would calm the storm. But what did he expect would happen? It was a way out for him. It was another way out. Well, if the ship isn't going to take me there, the end of my life sure will. And once again, God's mercy comes through. Oh man, God is amazing. Sends a fish. Sends a fish, and Jonah is taken into the belly of the fish, where he comes to, I don't think his heart was quite there yet, but he was willing to go. The reason I don't think his heart was there yet is because the rest of the story tells a different story about Jonah. Jonah makes the only wise statement he makes in the whole book in verse 9. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Amazing. Amazing. Salvation belongs to the Lord. The burden of saving people is not upon me. The burden of saving people is not upon you. We are simply the messengers. God wants willing messengers, but not only that, he wants messengers whose hearts are committed to what he's committed to. Now, God could have left Jonah there. Didn't have to spit him out on the beach. I know I wouldn't have. But he does. Jonah willingly goes to where God wanted him to go. Not trying to run away from the presence. I think he realized that being thrown overboard and swallowed by a fish where you have to come face to face with your Maker. He's not going to run. He's going to cooperate with what God wants. Didn't seem to be going well if he wasn't. Maybe things would be better if he did. So he goes to Nineveh and he preaches this message. Because God says, I'm going to give you a message that I want you to preach to these people. And what's that message? We see that in verse in chapter 3, verse 4. It says, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's a wonderful message, isn't it? Makes you all warm and fuzzy inside. And makes you just, yeah, awesome. That's the message God gave for the Ninevites. It's not pretty. Yet it was effective. Why? Who is doing the work? Who's doing the work? God. That leads me to believe that when I speak the whole counsel of God's word, I'm not preaching your best life now. I'm not preaching God has a wonderful plan for your life. I'm speaking the whole truth of what God has to say. And people will come to know him. Don't feel like you have to make excuses for God. Don't feel like you have to excuse some of the hard things in his word. It's God's word. It's the message that he's giving us to give to the world. That means there's some parts in here that are not pretty. We can be confident because God's doing the work. And it's just amazing. Like the whole city repents. The whole city is in sackcloth and ashes. Even the king issues a proclamation that everyone should be in sackcloth and ashes. Even the animals should be in sackcloth and ashes. I mean, that's repentance. And God relents. Because God is doing the work. God is the one who wants to show mercy and grace, not only to the people who he wants us to go to. He wants to show mercy and grace to us as the messengers. And yet there's days our hearts are just not in it. Look at the wonderful thing that happened in Nineveh, and Jonah's heart was still not in it. He was still concerned about his comfort. It was hot, so God sent him a vine that shaded him. He was so happy. And as soon as that comfort was gone, he was miserable again, miserable enough to die. I feel my heart sometimes is more concerned about my comfort, what's going to keep me safe, keep my family safe, than I am about going to those hard-to-reach places and speaking God's word into their lives. Yes, it's messy. God's not pressing us for the results. He's pressing us to be his messengers. That's who we are. God is doing the work. Three points I want you to be able to go home with. Go. Go. The call throughout Scripture is undeniable. Go. God is simply asking you to go. Have I said go enough? Go to your neighbor. Go to your workplace and go to your relationships that are broken. Go to those places which are going to pull you out of your comfort zone. Yes, but go. God designed it so that we, the church, would go and take His message to people. Call out. Go with confidence. It's God's message. Go with confidence. Don't shy away. Call out. Because God's words to Jonah were go and call out. Not very complicated. Go and call. Go and tell people. There's people that need to hear from you. Specifically, you are the one who has the position, the relationship, the lack of relationship, the opportunity to be the one who goes and calls out, to be the one who goes and takes this message to them. And finally, God is doing the work. This is the story of God. This is the story of God and His love towards the Ninevites. This is the story of God and His love towards the messenger. He loves you. He loves you. He wants your heart to beat the same beat that His does. He wants your heart to hurt for the people who are walking in darkness. He loves those people. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing that in the whole mess of things, God's still pouring out His grace and mercy upon me as He wants me involved in what He's doing to pour out more grace and mercy to others? That should give you confidence. That should give you so much confidence. This is the story of God asking you to just be involved. Have your heart where His heart is for the lost. All you got to do is go and call out. Leave the rest to Him. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your goodness. I thank You for Your love, Your grace, Your mercy that was so lavishly poured out upon us, that You would call us to be Your children, that You would give us the responsibility, the privilege to be involved in what You're doing. Mount Forest is a hurting place. Mount Forest is a place that needs men and women from all walks of life to get involved in the messiness of life with others who don't know You. Ontario's messy. Canada's messy. Help us to see the opportunities around us. Help us to see where You're leading us to be involved. Help us to go. Help us to have the boldness and the courage to speak Your word, Your truth into the lives of others. Help us to have the confidence that You are the one doing the work. That You are the one saving people, just like You saved us. You'll do the work, Lord. We thank You for Your amazing, amazing attributes, God. We love You. Help us, our hearts, to be inclined to where You want us to go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.